The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of iRibe English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Shaykh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray that all of you are well, inshallah, and that you are healthy. What I wanted to talk about today, you know, is one of the highly recommended acts of worship that we can do in this great month of Sha'ban is to recite the Munajat of Sha'baniya. This is a very beautiful Munajat. We can call it a dua, but it's called a Munajat, right? A Munajat comes from the word Najwa. It's a very private and secret conversation that one has with another. Here, the Munajat that we're talking about is a secret or a silent whispered prayer. It's a prayer or it's a conversation that one has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they feel very connected to God, very close to God, where you have certain things you want to get off your chest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a very beautiful way. The time of Munajat can be any, but of course the best times for Munajat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is late at night, you know, when everyone is asleep and it's just you and God and you speak to Him. It's very powerful. It can have tremendous impact and effects in our lives. This Munajat of Sha'baniya is taught to us by Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And it's a Munajat that he recited, and according to the traditions, it is a Munajat that was recited by every other imam that came after him. And hence, it's a Munajat that we should recite. These are some passages that really resonated with me. Yeah, the imam said, Ilahi, لم يزل برك على أيام حياتي فلا تقطع برك عني في مماتي. That, O Allah, you have not stopped being kind to me or showering me with your favors throughout my life. Yeah? You have not stopped. So please do not stop showering your favors upon me during my death. Yeah? Very beautiful, okay? You know, like the favors of God are all around us, right? Sometimes we only remember those favors that our tongues ask for. Right? So the things that we list off to God. But if you think about the number of things that we don't ask for, yet He provides for us, man, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle, right? Like, when's the last time we'll be like, Ya Allah, let my heart beat. Yeah, you know, let my fingers pick up stuff. Ya Allah, let my lungs take in oxygen. We never even think about these things, right? But our body is making dua to God, God is answering, right? Our mind sometimes is making this dua to God, and God is answering. The favors of God are constant, right? And this is why Allah says that if you were to enumerate them, لَا تُحْسُوهَا, you would not be able to count them, right? The favors of God. But as much as we need the favors of God here, man, we need Him in the hereafter. Yeah? We need Him in the hereafter. Because our success in the hereafter is fully dependent on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't care what kind of person we are in this world, we are far from perfect. Yeah. And so the success, right, like it's fully dependent upon this mercy of God, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to incorporate that as part of our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I always feel that there is a physical maturity that we go through in life, right? And as we physically mature, our things that we ask from God change, Right? So I know that when I was a kid, it'd be like, Ya Allah, I want that Nintendo game. Ya Allah, I want this, I want that. And as I got older, like I needed a car. So like, Ya Allah, I need a car. Ya Allah, I need this. Ya Allah, I need, like mortgage paid off, whatever, right? And then when you spiritually mature, you then begin to ask for the akhirah stuff. Right? And that's where I hope that we can like curve to, right? Like we can go towards. Where now, like, we've reached this age where like, man, I'm about to go anytime, right? And so, Ya Allah, I hope my death is not difficult. Ya Allah, I hope that Munkar and Nakir take it easy on me. Ya Allah, I need your favors. These are part of the du'as we make because that's the real life, right? And so we have to learn to incorporate that, and we need the favors of God. So we are grateful. And so one of the ways that we learn that we will inshallah be encompassed in the favors of God is if we are appreciative of the favors of God in this world. Right? So the more we appreciate what God does for us here, inshallah, that will translate to for us there. And then he says, Ilahi qad, again, like I'm jumping all over in this munajat. He says, Ilahi qad satarta alayya dhunuban fid dunya wa ana ahwaju ila satriha alayya minka fil ukhra. Ya Allah, you concealed my sins in this worldly life, but I am more in need of concealment in the hereafter. Right? Because in the hereafter, like here, it's a miracle, it's a blessing of Allah that we don't know each other well enough. You know, we know each other, but like we don't know inside, we don't know. And I've quoted this hadith all the time because I think it's just lovely. The first imam says, right? إِذَا كَاشَفْتُمْ مَا دَفَنْتُمْ. That if you are revealed, no one would bury you. Yeah? And if your true nature was known to people, right? That nobody would even attend your funeral because we are people who struggle internally, right? But God hides all that. So beautiful that He hides all that. But in the hereafter, we are going to be questioned in front of everyone. Yeah? Our sins are going to be known to the angels, they're going to be known to the prophet, and though they know them here, but they're going to be known by everyone. And so we are in need of this satr in the hereafter. Yeah, we are in need of this covering because we don't want to be embarrassed. Like imagine, like even if I end up in Jannah inshallah, right? But you were behind me in line and you'd be like, man, you did all that? Right? And I said, I got to meet you in Jannah knowing you know I know all that. Like, no, man, we have to hide that, right? Because there's a certain level of embarrassment that is there. This is why Allah hides it in dunya. And so we need that. And so the Imam, very beautifully, he asks for that. And of course, there's a responsibility that we have, that if we want our sins to be hidden, man, we have to hide our sins in this world. Right? Like we can't be all bombastic about, yes, this is who I am, this is... No, hide your sins, right? Like there was a time when we used to hide our sins. Now we like post our sins. Right? Like we post all these things. And not only do I have to hide my sins, man, but I hide the sins of others. Right? Someone may make a mistake. I hide it. I don't go and share it, tell people about it. And this is part of the responsibility. So if I can learn to practice that here, I will practice that. I will get that there. We can go on, but I'll end with my favorite line in this dua, where he says, Ilahi, Ilahi, in akhadhtani bijurmi, akhadhtuka bi'afwik. That if you were to punish me for my offenses, I will fall back on your pardon. Yeah, that means I will say, Ya Allah, I expect your pardon. Right? That if you are going to hold me accountable, I'm going to hold your pardon accountable, basically, right? That means that's how much trust the Imam says I have in you. وَإِنْ أَخَذْتَنِي بِذُنُوبِي أَخَذْتُكَ بِمَغْفِرَتِكَ. That if you were to take me to account and hold me account for my sins, I will hold on to your maghfira, your pardoning and forgiving. And then he says this line, it's just gorgeous, this line. Yeah, he says, وَإِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِ النَّارِ. That if you were to enter me into the hellfire, أَعْلَمْتُ أَهْلَهَا أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ. Subhanallah. He said that if you were to put me in the fire of hell, I would tell everyone in hell how much I love you, O Allah. Yeah? Subhanallah. Yeah? Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you know, the people in hell don't love God. Yeah, they're mad at God. But he's saying that, look, I have this love for you. And based on that, I expect your pardon. And based on that, I expect your maghfirah. And I expect you not to enter me. Now, obviously, that requires action, right? Like, don't think that we'll be one of these people who'll be like, I love you on the day of judgment. And God will be like, all right, come on then, right? No, like, that, those words won't even cross my mind if they don't exist in my mind here, right? And if I truly love God here, then my actions would be in line with that love. They would never contradict that love. And but if I have that, then I will let the world know how much I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a beautiful munajat.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.